Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June 28th, and we're a couple days away from July.
June's almost over. That's so wild to me.
Is July significant? We do have 4th of July.
Yeah, we have 4th of July.
Are you going to be traveling? They're saying there's going to be so much traveling going on.
No, I'm going to wait a couple months to go anywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be too crazy for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
2 months?
Maybe like a month and a half. I'll see where everyone's at the end of the summer.
Oh, okay. Because of the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of places are shutting back down again because there's like another wave coming. Have you heard about it? I should have been prepared.
A strain in California. I heard something about that. Yeah.
There's a new thing that's happening, and they're saying that everyone who's even vaccinated should be wearing a mask again anyway, which is kind of a bummer.
Right.
I'll have this info for you in just one sec.
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to be protesting that. I'm not wearing any more fucking masks. Enough.
They're calling it the COVID Delta variant.
Yeah, I know.
It's exploded in the UK, and it could be a blueprint for the US.
Right. Probably.
So that sucks.
I'm so over this fucking thing, man. Shit. And there's nowhere to run to, you know?
Yeah, it says.
Nowhere to escape to, man.
It's the fastest and fittest of the strains.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Jeez.
I know. We just can't get out of this, man. I don't know what the hell's going on.
That sucks.
I know.
But back to July. There's also Christmas in July. That's usually a thing on streaming services.
Really?
Lots of Christmas movies come out.
So, really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I've never heard of that.
Christmas in July.
Oh.
I never heard of it until I made a Christmas movie like a year or two ago.
And you found out it was going to be released in the summer?
Well, we were trying to get it released for Christmas, and that didn't work out because of post-production issues. And then we were like, everyone was like, well, Christmas in July. And I was like, what the hell, Christmas in July?
Yeah.
And apparently Christmas movies, you'll see in July, Netflix will be flooded with Christmas stuff.
That's interesting. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, as far as the 4th of July, so that's this weekend, right? Yeah.
4th of July?
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
The first is Thursday, so it's going to be
Sunday. It's going to be on a Sunday. That's nice. It's on a weekend.
Yeah, so we're probably going to have Monday off too, right? Usually.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's how it's going to
happen. Well, it's Independence Day, yeah.
Yeah. So usually here it says there's going to be travel between the 1st and the 5th. So more than 47 million people are expected to travel across the country. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
You know, and I usually don't travel during holidays because of this.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah. So if I was going to travel around a holiday, I usually go days before.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
For sure. And also, like, flying on the weekend is usually the highest prices.
Right.
It's usually the most traffic.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Gas prices go up. Have you seen the gas prices out there?
They're like $5.
Right. And there's like such a difference between, such a range between gas stations, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I found a place where I can fill up for $4.05, $4.10.
Yeah.
And then some places are like $5. Like
just right across the street, too.
Right.
Like, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it, you know. But
like, what's the catch? Like, what's in your gas?
It, yeah. Well, if they can get it, then they can get it. You know, they get away with it. But
yeah, I mean, I found a gas station that's $3.95 near me, which is great.
Yeah.
And I always go there. It's out of the way, but I go anyway. It's not super out of the way, but it's out of the way enough. Because right. I pass like 3 gas stations on my way there.
Uh-huh.
But I go anyway.
Yeah, it's worth it. You know, you save a couple bucks or something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the difference between paying $35 and $45.
Yeah, probably, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. Everything's so expensive here, you know? I looked up on some like some real estate and stuff, like in different parts of the country, to see if I decide to move one day, where would be a good place, you know?
Yeah.
So you want a place where you can maybe afford a house or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because renting is just a waste, and people can throw you out anytime, you know, if they sell the house, whatever.
And also the freedom to do what you want with the space.
Right.
You know?
That's true too, yeah. So, and your mortgage is usually less than what the rent is, you know? It depends usually how you finance it, but
it's
yeah. So I looked a couple places like Florida, also Houston, where my friends moved to. And you would not believe the prices in Houston. I mean, a house that you pay probably $1.5 million here.
It's $500,000, $600,000.
Nothing fancy. Nothing fancy. $250,000.
Yeah.
Like a 3-4-bedroom house, you know?
Yeah.
And relatively new.
Yeah.
So, you know, $250,000, $300,000, you can get yourself a mansion almost.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jersey's even expensive. And my mom lives in, the house I grew up in, very, like, the most typical suburban area you can imagine, like, picture perfect. And she has a 5-bedroom house there, not a massive house. It's a split level, so it more swirls upward. It's not, like, huge. It doesn't take up a lot of space. But her house is probably worth, like, $300,000.
Uh-huh.
And that's a lot in that area.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yeah, here it's nothing. You can't get anything for $300,000.
No, you can't even buy an apartment for that here.
No, not even a condo.
Yeah.
Those are like $400,000 or something.
More than that.
Yeah, well, at least. But it depends on the area, obviously.
And God forbid you want one by the beach.
Right. Forget about that, man.
My friend just bought a house by the Jersey Shore, and he spent, I think, $200,000 for a little duplex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's still good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, a quarter mile from the beach.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder whether I can still afford to live here, you know? I mean, it's like gotten so out of hand.
Yeah.
And if you want the house, this is not the place to be.
No.
You know?
No.
It's definitely not. So, but I don't know, you know? I mean, the thing is, you leave what's familiar, you go into something new, you don't know what the drawbacks are there.
There are other places in
out of California, period, I do. And there's not that many places that are less expensive. I mean, if you want to move to, like, I don't know, Orange County or something, San Diego, it's all just as expensive, you know?
Yeah.
Santa Barbara is more expensive. San Francisco is more expensive.
San Francisco is the most expensive in the country.
Right. So you'd have to go inland quite a bit to get something that's, like, you know, and pretty remote, too, you know?
Yeah. Definitely remote.
Yeah. So that's it, you know, as far as that goes. And I don't know, you know, plus we're getting the strain again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We have so many people here.
So many people.
You know, so I don't know. You know, I personally, I get nothing against California or L.A., you know, I really don't. I've just lived here for so long. It's too familiar, you know.
It's time for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to have a change.
It depends. Sometimes change is not that great.
Yeah. But it's stimulating. It's good for your brain.
Right.
It really is.
You know, and it's good for a lot of things. You know, sometimes you can change where you are and change your fortune, you know. So and things are easier for you or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's not something that happens overnight. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
For now, I'm here, you know.
Yeah, you've been talking about moving since I started on the show.
I know. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But eventually, I'll probably do something if I focus on it so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I focused on making money so much, maybe I would make some.
I know.
Right?
I used to, when I lived in New York and I hated it, I used to sit on those, like, apartment websites all the time and just, like, look up, it got to the point where I knew what you could get in every area of the city. Like, I knew how much all the real estate's worth every year. I spent my time talking at apartment I couldn't afford that were even like $300 out of my range, you know. And you don't get enough to spend an extra $300, you know what I mean? It would be the difference in 100 square feet.
Right.
If that.
That's true, you know. But you know what's important? What I read something that was attributed to Warren Buffett, you know, the billionaire.
Yeah.
But he claims he never said it. But it's very, it makes sense. It's called the rule of 25/5. And what it means is that what you do is you make a list of 25 things that you really want to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick only 5 things that you should focus on, and the rest you should make sure you don't focus on at all. You don't even touch them, the other 20, because that's what wastes your time and your effort, you know?
Got it.
So that's what they call spreading yourself too thin, you know?
Yeah.
When you're on too many things. So you got to focus
like
on the, yeah,
I
it
like
makes sense,
lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I've always said that focus is important because it's what you pay attention to that's where things happen, you mm-hmm. know? So it's,
I mean, how many things have you had on your mind that you've wanted to do for years already
right.
and you've still not done,
right.
but you've like definitely dwelled on other shit.
Right.
You've thought about things, you've thought about situations or people or how you could have handled something else better or
right.
or
and
whatever.
We definitely think of more than 5 things we want to do in our lives, you know.
For sure.
But that makes sense, you know, to narrow your focus a little bit.
Yeah, I need that.
I know. So I need to make that list and see what's going on, you know, maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
You know, focus a little bit on what's important in life, you know. And
yeah.
where you might achieve something, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
Do we have a guest today?
Oh, we do, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I didn't even bring up the notes. Let me bring up the notes real quick because they'll call in a few minutes. Thank you. I sent you an email about it, but I totally forgot. Wow, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, totally.
Because I would totally forget. So I'll bring it up. In the meantime, I wanted to bring up the fact that I saw a story here online that actually brought tears to my eyes, if you can believe it.
Oh, wow.
And in New York, they found a man that's autistic, and he's got Parkinson's disease.
Mm.
He got lost in New York. He traveled from Florida alone. I don't know how he managed that, from Orlando to New York City. And then the EMS were called to help him around, I guess he was on the street or something. Here comes our guest, so I'm going to go ahead and take that.
Great.
Okay, and let me bring up the notes. Hello, good morning. You with us? Oh, they just hung up. Okay, well, we'll try it again. They'll call right back. Hello, I can hear somebody. Are you there? Alex?
Hello?
Alex, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Thank you for joining
Hi.
Us.
Hi. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Brian Laws, what did I call you? I called you Alex. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Brian Laws, right?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
Calling from Oklahoma City.
Oh, Oklahoma City. Cool. I know a couple of people there. That's pretty nice there. Is that your hometown, or did you move there from somewhere else?
Yep, hometown, and it's actually where we filmed the short film as well.
Oh, okay, cool. So that was easy. You didn't have to travel anywhere. is there a big film industry out there in Oklahoma?
Growing, yeah. We have certain film incentives that have made it like a more advantageous place to come out and do some larger productions. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a smaller community than you might find out in L.A., but, growing and bigger productions coming all the time.
Oh, actually. Cool. And how long have you been into film? You're the director of Lost Kings, which we're going to talk about in a minute. How long have you been in the film industry?
That is a great question. My interest in it started a while back. I think even, when I was younger, in my teens.
Uh-huh.
But about the last 10 years, I've been working in the film industry, doing some of my own projects or directing commercial projects as well. So, yeah, 10 or so years, 10 plus years.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So so you directed this is a short film, right? Lost Kings?
Correct.
Okay.
It is.
And so tell us a little bit about the film. What is it about?
Sure. So Lost Kings is about a boy who breaks into a neighborhood home looking for food for him and his younger brother. And then while he's in the homeowners return and he becomes trapped inside. And it turns into a cat and mouse game of him trying to escape the home before they realize he's still there.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a dilemma. There you go, yeah. You know. That's...
Yeah, we just played at Palm Springs this past weekend and past week. And one of the audience members said they forgot to breathe during most of the film. So, yeah, it is a little bit anxiety-inducing.
Yeah. Wow. Did you write the film as well?
I did. It actually, the story behind it is I actually wrote the feature version of Lost Kings first. So I knew going into the festival circuit, I wanted to have a larger concept already ready. So I completed the feature script for Lost Kings, and then I adapted a short version, which is what you see now in the festival circuit as a proof of concept.
Right. So.
Wonderful. Are you planning... Do you already have plans in the works for creating the feature, or are you kind of waiting to see what happens with the short first?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think plans are to move on to the feature as soon as possible, especially while there's some good attention on the short and people are interested. So I have a couple different avenues we're pursuing. Ultimately, we're looking for the right producing partner and the right financing situation. So that's kind of what we're trying to figure out right now. The script is kind of being passed around and some people are considering it for some different things. So I would love to start on it. I feel like maybe early 2022, but we'll kind of see where we go next with it.
Right.
But the festivals are certainly helping more people learn about the feature. So yeah. Hopefully that will accelerate the process.
Oh, amazing.
Right. And I would imagine also the process of shortening it quite a bit. Was that difficult for you to tell the story? And how many minutes is this? Is this film?
It is it's 16 minutes, just a couple, a little bit shy of that.
Yeah. Was that challenging?
You know, sometimes it is hard. You know, for this one, I kind of started thinking about it as I was writing the feature script, knowing that I did want to adapt it.
Right.
And so I kind of was already thinking that way. So I had a little bit of time to stew on it. So when it came time, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. The challenge was obviously to make it a contained story that was still satisfying for a short. So I had to adjust some elements. It's not a direct pull from the feature. In some ways it is, but it's more of like a kind of showing the tone and the character and the world. So yeah, I was lucky. For this time, it wasn't as hard. It felt kind of easy because the character was so strong and the story was so strong.
Right. Now, how did you come up with the subject for the film? Is this something that you're familiar with? Or how did the idea of children struggling with hunger come about for you?
I think on a larger scale, although this film particularly kind of zeroes in on children dealing with hunger, I think topics around... just differences in socioeconomic situations for people and people that are finding themselves in financially difficult situations. I think topics of that have been of interest to me for a long time, actually. Starting with just encountering it in the world, seeing people in all these different financial situations and seeing the large gap that there is in our country. Where the short film takes place in this really nice neighborhood where I'm from, there really isn't, you don't have to drive too far to get into a neighborhood that's the complete opposite, where it would be very likely, you know, someone like my main character struggling with just finding food could be only a few blocks away. And the geography of the city, it wasn't a stretch to do that where we did in Oklahoma City. It actually exists in those pockets. And so that's something I've thought about for a long time. And when it came to wanting to make a film about it, I felt like at times the topic can be overly sensationalized and it can be almost like made at a height that isn't very grounded and can be like this too dramatic of a thing. And I really wanted to do a story that dealt with it in a more nuanced and grounded way that felt like it tackled the subject with more sensitivity. I talk about movies like not all these movies, but movies like Moonlight and Florida Projects and mid-90s as being things that have inspired me to do the feature version and connected with me in some way or another. So it's a longer answer than you might have expected, but that's kind of the background of kind of what led me to this story.
That's very awesome. I have a creative question, actually. How do you take, what's your process in taking a feature film and condensing it into a short? Like, what, I imagine that's probably quite difficult at times, at least.
Yeah, it can be. So for me, I knew that. So some of the challenges for me were, I have a main character, a parent character in the feature, and I had to kind of recognize, like, she wasn't going to be able to fit in the short. There wasn't enough time to have her in there. So I think it becomes a question of saying, what's the most simple situation I can show my main character in and taking everything away? So I had to do a lot of kind of removing things that would have existed in the feature had there been more time. Mm. For me, my character, you know, the whole story is kind of set off in motion by him breaking into a single home for food. And that kind of starts off the whole feature journey. And so it made a lot of sense for me to basically take the inciting incident from the feature and make that the short. Because in a way, when we all watch features, like, you, in your first 15 minutes, you're kind of, you're going to see the setup. You're going to see the thing that makes you want to watch more or not want to watch more anyway. So for way in adapting it, I took that approach of basically, I'm going to capture the event that sets the whole feature into motion in a contained short, because that's going to make the most sense for helping translate to people what the feature could be and understanding the setup. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what does Lost Kings mean as far as the film is concerned? Why did you pick that name?
It's a great question. I got asked this past week at Palm Springs Short Fest. It actually references a scene in the feature version, so it doesn't come up in the short, but there is, you know, a couple of our main characters are dealing with, throughout the feature, I think a growing awareness and a loss of innocence of their own situation they find themselves in.
Right.
And there's a conversation between two main characters in the feature where they talk about, as kids, they enjoyed some of the ignorance and the bliss of not realizing in what ways their circumstances lacked things that other people have, like food and things like that. They talk about how they used to feel like kings, like run the neighborhood and everything was fine and everything. They didn't realize, you know, where they were lacking. And as they've like gotten older and compared with other people's situations, and they're starting to kind of become more self-aware of their lives, a loss of that innocence. So it's kind of a combination of that scene and thematically what they're going through. Lost Kings embodies that whole journey that the characters are on.
Right. Interesting. I see you had a producer. Do you want to acknowledge the producer while we're at it?
Yeah, Amanda Hayden. She was amazing. She's actually a longtime friend. I've been so fortunate to actually produce. She produced a couple of films I've worked on. On top of being an amazing friend and someone I've, you know, had my life for lots of years, she's incredible what she does. And every single film, I couldn't imagine being without her. She's really, really talented what she does. And I should also just, there's the whole entire cast and crew for the film was right. Incredible. And
I was going to ask you, but go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, my director of photography on this one, Vincent, was also, you know, such an important collaborator that I was so, so thankful to be have on the team.
Right. That's amazing. And how did you get the actors? Did you audition for them, the kids in the movie?
Yeah. So once again, another just part of the team that couldn't have done it without him. So vital was my casting director, Chris Greihoffer. And he went through several hundred, you know, kids trying to find the right combination. And he brought me to find, you know, Dash Melrose, who's our lead, and Joe Ashley Moore, who's kind of the almost a co-lead, but she's Dash is probably in it the most. But both of them were incredible. Chris brought me a lot of different kids to look at. But when it came to looking at Dash and Joe Ashley reading the parts, they kind of just came alive on the screen in the characters.
Wow.
And it was a pretty easy fit. After finding him, it was a really easy decision.
Yeah. Wow, that's got to be pretty hard, though, going through hundreds of people, right, to find the right one.
Yeah, I think that's why you get a great casting director who you love because, like, he did so much, you know, work for the film to find those right people. So he did a lot of narrowing it down to kind of find people he thought would be a good fit. So
right.
I couldn't have done it without him. It would have been so much work to kind of do that on my own. But he's got such a big network of casting contacts that he was able to find who we needed.
Right. You know, it's interesting because we often see this this kind of story from a different perspective. You know, like, for example, I would imagine people that are poor probably shoplift as well for food and necessities. And we look at them as criminals, you know, where I think it comes from a not a vicious
survival
deliberate thing, right, but a question of survival.
Oh, absolutely. That was also kind of a big thing of piquing my interest in the topic for the short and the feature was I think situations of moral ambiguity are reaching to me. It's easy to get into and get really angry and assume, you know, it was done with the most malicious intent. But I think in reality, those people that find themselves in situations where they need to do that, it's sure there's times where it was maybe malicious, but I feel like the majority of times it's actually just a situation of being financially desperate spot.
Right.
And a lot of what I wanted to bring to my short and the feature is like I said, a more nuanced, morally ambiguous understanding of like what situations families and kids could find themselves in that would lead to these things that we might classically say are wrong or illegal.
Right. Mm. I know what you mean. I mean, that's, you know, we don't think about this, but people do go hungry every day. And I guess when you are, you'll do whatever it takes to survive, you know?
Yeah, and it's something that's happening in our country all the time. And I think it's easy to forget.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the film is Lost Kings. We're talking to Brian Laws. Brian, do you have any links where people can find out more about the film? Maybe a trailer or something where they can get an idea?
Absolutely, all of it. And I'd love for people to go watch the trailer. So there's a couple different ways. You can go to my website, which is www.brianlaws.co. My name is BrianLaws. Or if you just search Brian Laws Lost Kings, you should find the trailer popping up pretty fast just on Google. If you search Brian Laws Lost Kings Palm Springs Short Fest, I think they even have a trailer on their website from this past week's
festival.
So yeah, a quick Google search, you should find me and my website and my Instagram and all that stuff pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. I'm sure you're going to continue with the festival circuit. Because it's usually where short films are shown, right?
Yes, that's kind of the plan. Hopefully some exciting places this fall to play as well.
Sounds good. Brian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Very inspiring film, and congratulations to you for making it. You know, I mean, I think it's important because it's not just something for entertainment. It's something to think about. And to really put things in perspective for us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, and I certainly hope so. And I'm just thrilled to get to share the film with the world. So thanks for asking me about it, letting me share with more people. And I'll be excited to share the short with people online when it comes out and eventually the feature as well.
Awesome, awesome.
I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, good luck with the feature. We're looking forward to seeing that. You said this would be like in a couple of years or so?
Yeah, so there's been some conversation here. Like I said, the script's done, but maybe to start production early next year. Or maybe sooner, I guess, if it works out.
Yeah.
So, look for it in the next, hopefully, maybe a year or two. Maybe a couple of years, though.
Great. Well, filmmaker Brian Laws, thank you so much again, and all the best to you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Love it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing. We don't think about things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, God, you know, to have to break in and steal for food, that's a major problem.
It is a problem. In fact, there's actually, you know how, like, sometimes on TV we have those commercials where they say, like, you know, $1 a day to help a kid in need in another country. Right. You know, it's like a monthly sponsorship. They now have those in Germany for American kids.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So we're now that country.
Well,
where there's starving kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I often wonder all these homeless people, how do they eat, you know? I mean, you need like to eat a couple times a day, three times
a day. At least, yeah.
Where do they get the money, you know? Where do they get the food?
Scraps.
you know, we don't even think about that enough, you know.
Lots of rationing.
Yeah. I don't know. But they're saying many of the homeless do not want to be in a government-run program, you know, because then they have to go by the rules, and they don't want to.
They want to be off the grid a bit.
Right, yeah. You know, so. But the problem has become like a catastrophe. I mean, everywhere you go, there's just tent cities all over the place, you know?
I know.
Like, nonstop.
New York homeless are bad, too, right? Yeah. That live on the train and the people that live in the subway stations and...
I know.
In the tunnels.
Hmm. Oh, well. So, anyway, so going back to the story before Brian called about the autistic man with Parkinson's disease. I mean, imagine how lost he must have been, you know? And also, think about how lucky we are that we're healthy, you know?
How old was he?
I don't know. Let me look and see.
Because there's
44-year-old.
There's something that happens with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. You can have Parkinson's or you can have Parkinson's with Lewy body. And Lewy body is a type of dementia. That's actually what my dad had. But what happens sometimes when you have Parkinson's is you develop hallucinations. And I remember my dad driving one time. This was when we first realized that things had gotten, were starting to really go downhill for him. He had 40, 35 years. So he could do it with his eyes closed pretty much. Not recommended, though. But he called us from 2.5 hours in the opposite direction that he had driven. And he was like hysterical. He had no idea how he'd gotten there. He was completely confused. He just had absolutely zero idea of how he got there. So people hallucinate and they get disoriented sometimes with Parkinson's.
Yeah. It's amazing he was still driving, you know? I mean, with that condition, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know. That's true, though. My dad had hallucinations, too, where he thought things were going on, you know?
Yeah.
In the walls and...
Definitely right? In the walls, yeah.
What but is it with the walls?
I know. There's always something coming out of the wall. I guess it's just like a flat, blank surface that their brain... can create anything.
Maybe when they're sleeping and they're hearing things, they're like...
Maybe. I mean, if you've ever done hallucinogens, things definitely happen on the walls.
Yeah.
For sure. But, I mean, at the time, they didn't know that Parkinson's came with hallucinations, really. None of the doctors knew. None of the neurologists. We saw neurologists at top facilities in Philadelphia. Nobody had any idea that that was even a thing. It was just a matter of tremors. And so they thought it was his medication that was causing the hallucinations. So he had to choose, do you want to have a tremor or do you want to hallucinate? Because each of the medications would cancel out the other thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so he chose to have a tremor and stop the hallucinations, and then right. He chose to stop the hallucinations and have the... He went back and forth. So at the point in which he was driving and got lost, he thought he was just in a tremor part of the illness. He didn't realize that he was... Or maybe he did and just wasn't forthcoming about it because he was embarrassed or something. But
Yeah. But you can see how important he's surrounded by family when you're like that. You know, yeah. And the man seemed to be alone, but... They did find his family, and they were looking for him also, you know. So I don't know how he made the trip, though.
But he
managed. Yeah, he managed to do that, you know.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just feel bad for people, you know.
They definitely sometimes, like, they go on these, like, adventures, and they don't realize how far things go sometimes.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this up. You know James Corden, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know him very well at all. I didn't even know what he did, but I guess he's got a show, a TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
A talk show or something. So I saw a little clip with him and Steve Tyler from Aerosmith in a segment called "Spill Your Guts," or what was it? They're just saying "spill your guts," but it had a longer name for some reason, but I guess not. At any rate, what the game is about is he asks some questions, but really questions that you don't want to answer, like how much money did you make, you know, doing this or that, you know.
Yeah.
So Steve Tyler chose to eat the gross stuff that you're supposed to eat if you don't spill your guts.
I would end up spilling my guts.
Would you?
Probably. It depends how gross the thing was.
Well, they're pretty gross. I mean, they had like bull penises. They had cow something. I don't know what it was. Sausage juice.
Ew, sausage juice.
Yeah, which was like disgusting.
Ew.
So this reminds me of the Fear Factor. Do you remember that?
I was going to say Fear Factor, yeah.
So
I forgot he was the host of that show.
He was the host and he was totally different. He was so innocent and everything.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's so out there. You
yeah, know? Yeah. Oh my God, I totally never connected the dots that was him.
Yeah.
Whoa. I remember one time they ate these weird spiders that had like crab claws.
Oh, wow.
And they were like pinching at like the corners of their mouth while they were trying to eat them. They were huge. Like the body itself was like this.
I know. I don't know how people can do that. You know? It's unbelievable.
I'm not eating a live spider.
I know. Or live anything. Or even a dead spider for crying out loud.
Yeah, my life would really have to depend on it. Like you would have to.
I know. I don't know why anybody would play this game. I mean, you can't win with that game.
No.
You know?
No.
You can't. You either have to disclose something you don't want to talk about, or you have to eat something that's so gross that you would die.
I would just tell them how much I made.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is how much. I'm not eating that.
But they did have like buckets to throw up in, you know?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Great. That makes me feel much better. I absolutely hate throwing up.
Oh, man. So that's crazy. That's crazy. And with Steve Tyler, too, it was funny as hell.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. I saw Aerosmith live once. They, I really went to see Motley Crue because Motley Crue opened for them.
Yeah.
And Aerosmith decided to play all of their They said, we're going to play all of the blues songs we've ever played. And I was like, oh, come on. and my friend and I had like smoked a little too. So I fell asleep during Aerosmith.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
It was kind of a bummer. They played a few good hits, but
yeah,
it was all just like chilling blues.
Really? Yeah. So they were just jamming.
They were just jamming.
Not caring about the audience. I know this happened to me when I went to see Toto. Which is probably the most recent.
I love Toto.
I know. It was the most recent concert I went to. And I know a lot of their material. I know a lot of their songs, right?
Yeah.
They were just jamming on the fucking stage, not caring about anybody, playing shit you never heard before.
Yeah, you're like, I want to sing along.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, Hold the Line's one of my favorite songs ever. Yeah,
they didn't even play that one. They played Africa and Roseanne and all that.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean,
I would have been heartbroken if they didn't play Hold the Line.
Yeah, I know. That's a cool song.
Yeah.
Wasn't the first song the first hit?
It might have been.
Yeah, it was the first hit. And so the funny thing is, it's not even their style. I mean, it was like hard rock, but now they're not so hard anymore, you know? And so, yeah, the first album was like that, you know, a lot of driving guitar and things like that. And then it became more like pop or something, whatever you want to call it, you know. But I love that group, you know.
Don't get me wrong.
And they had different incarnations, but I liked all of them, really.
I love when a band evolves really well.
Right.
Or at least to your liking.
Right. You know, they bring in new singers that are as good or better than the ones that were there before.
Yeah.
You know. So Toto managed to do that. But still, the singer... what's his name? Shit, I forgot. The first one, the one that sang Africa and Roseanne and stuff. They are... it's Bobby Kimball or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He was like... He had such a high voice. I like that, you know?
Mm.
So... But talking about bands that just jam, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's cool, you know, but don't do it too long.
Yeah, but if I wanted to see a jam band, I would just go see like Dave Matthews or something.
Right.
I don't want to see Dave Matthews.
Or put it on an album or something, let people listen to it. But, you know, maybe, I guess people didn't care really. I mean, you were just there for the concert.
You got to at least play like a few hits.
Right.
You, like,
They did. But I know a lot of their less known songs, and they didn't play many of them either, you know. So they just took up a lot of time with that jamming.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I haven't, I think that's the last concert I saw, and that was maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Like, what was the last concert I saw?
That's like a long time ago.
My sister's boyfriend took me to Mati Siahu. I think that might have been the last one I went to, like 6 years ago or something. He was pretty great.
Yeah, is live. He really?
I never heard any of his music, but I heard him live.
Really?
And it was epic. And then I bought the album. And I was like, this album kind of sucks, but
yeah. So you like the performance?
Yeah, live was amazing.
The music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. You
know? It was an energy thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, sometimes performances are great. You know, whereas you wouldn't really listen to it on the album.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, Hollywood Bowl has a lot of concerts right now.
Right.
A ton of concerts. You should check out their queue. There's a lot of great stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're coming back, those concerts, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a lot of classical music stuff.
Yeah, I know that they have. That doesn't really appeal to me.
No.
But they do have other stuff, too.
Yeah, they have a lot of other stuff.
Modern music and pop and rock and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind going to a concert or two, man. It's like so much fun, you know?
So great.
Yeah. Have you been to any out here since you've been here?
No, it's been a pandemic.
No rock concert, right? Yeah. I know, for the most part.
Yeah, this will be my first concert in July.
Which one?
Rachmaninoff Tchaikovsky, so it's not rock, but... But it's going to be epic.
How long can you sit with music like that? I mean, come on, you know.
Oh, so long.
Really?
Yeah, an orchestra just like, it just grips. It grips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. I like orchestras with more modern music, you know,
and stuff.
But yeah, when they put orchestras to more modern songs, I like it. But classical music, I don't know. I never developed a
not even live
for it. I don't know. Never watched it live, so
yeah,
I don't
live
know.
Will be a different story.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Definitely.
Okay, I'll try. I'll try it. All right. Well, in other news, Kylie Jenner confesses she had insecurity about her small lips while dating, so which led to lip kit empire. Mm. I felt unkissable, she says.
Aw.
So. Like she was critiqued during one of her first kisses. You see, that's what guys do, man. They take all your security away from the woman, and then she's like so self-conscious about everything. They go and they puff up their lips, which I think looks ridiculous every time they do it. Most people, it doesn't work very well. I'm looking at her picture. I don't think it works very well for her either. I don't know. It's kind of puffy. You can tell.
Yeah, it is puffy.
Yeah, it's like you can tell, you know?
I mean, I think she looks good. I mean, she doesn't really look how she probably would look, but.
Right.
I mean, at all, but.
How old is she?
She's like 19 or 20, I think.
It says Jenna was 22 when Kylie Cosmetics was valued at $1.2
billion. Is
she? So she's older than that.
Wow, time
23.
Wow.
Amazing, huh? So she started Kylie Cosmetics, and now it's valued at what? $1.2 billion? Yeah.
I wonder what how real boobs and fake boobs feel different. I wonder how, like, real lips and fake lips feel.
Mm. I don't know, man. But I've seen, like, on Facebook, you can see that people that you know, that not necessarily close, but people I've met. Like, there's this woman, she was on my show once as a guest. And what she did to her face is unfriggin' believable. I can't believe she did that. And I mean, I can't stand to look at it, not because it's ugly, but because it's weird. Mm. You know? I mean, it's like I cringe when I see it. And for them, it's like they see themselves as beautiful, you know?
I mean, I think it's whenever I see work like that, and look, there's so many different cases of how people are going to feel about it, but a lot of times I see. What I see that person must have been in so much pain about how they look that they went and got something done.
Right. But I mean, they get like bone adjustment. You can see it, you know?
Yeah, they do. They get things shaved down or added.
You know, the nose, it's like, you know, ends up being like a Michael Jackson nose if they work on it too much, you know. And I mean, it's an
illness sometimes when people go way too overboard with it, where they just can't. It becomes almost like a compulsion in a lot of ways.
Right, because they find it as a way out of the pain. You know, it's like, if I just look better, if my boobs are bigger, if my lips are bigger, if my face is thinner, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it sometimes they look like a ghost of themselves. And I'm like, why would you do that to yourself?
I mean, they do it because of social pressures. And
they probably don't know how it's going
to
turn out.
And having people just talk to you about what you look like all the time. Because when you're a woman, people literally comment on how you look all the time.
Right.
Constantly, all day. Other women, other men, people all day long. Like, not a day goes by where someone didn't say something about the way you look.
Yeah.
So you constantly have people perceiving you.
Right. But what I'm saying is most people do not get that surgery, you know. Mm. So it has to do with personality as well, how you deal with it.
It's true. I think right now there's more people than ever having work done, because there's people my age and younger having work done. There's girls that are 16, guys that are 16. More men are getting work done than ever, young people. And this woman I saw did a TikTok, which she received a lot of hate for, but I think she has a point. She said, she's like, in 10, 15 years, I think we're going to have a generation of disformed people because of all this work they're getting done, that when they do actually come into their adult bodies, because your body just changes from 19 to 25 to 30. Your body just changes, you know? And she said that we're going to have disfigured people. People are going to be gaining weight in weird places when you have lipo in one place, and then fillers in another, and you do gain weight, it distributes weird. It distributes really weird. Yeah. So, we'll see.
Yeah. That's pretty sad, man. But, and then they see someone like Kylie Jenner doing this, and they're like, it's okay to do it. Let me do it as well. There's a lot of responsibility going with when you have so many followers, you know, and stuff. Mm. You have to really think about what you do and stuff. But, hey, it's her life, you know.
Yeah.
She wants a plump pout, like they call it here.
A plump pout.
They're saying that protection from Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines may last for years, actually. The protection does.
Oh, really? So we're not going to need boosters?
Right. You see, that's the thing. That's until the next study tomorrow, which is going to tell us we probably need to
That we're actually overdue.
Right, you know? Yeah. So it's pretty crazy, and that's why I brought it up, because it brings up people's hopes, and then you don't know. So, yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. You know, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
The problem is whenever they publish information, whether it being that we're going to need boosters or that it's going to last a few years, people will read that and figure out which response that they like best, right, and then just stick with that for as long as they possibly can. You know? Yeah. They'll believe that, share that information, and now we have a bunch of people with information that nobody knows is correct. And so my point again is what it always is, which is we don't know anything.
Right.
We're not going to know anything. In 5 years, we'll know better than we know now. And then 5 years after that, we'll probably have an actual answer.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
We just need to be comfortable not knowing.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and it sucks, but what are we can either not know and be calm about it, or not know and just be like anxious and mad about it. Either way, we don't know.
Right. And all the politics behind it, you know, of wanting to show you everything, not showing you everything, whose fault it is, whose fault it's not, all this stuff, you know, making you go crazy, you know.
I know.
So that's pretty lousy. All right, anyway, the rest of the news is shit, so I don't want to go over it.
Hear that, everybody? It's stuff, shit. You know? Everything's shit.
Everything's shit. All right, and on that note, folks, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.